Crack open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers Podcast.
My preference was always to work late at night or the mid shift. I can't, I don't know why the whole world, all of society, at least in America, it's like, you got to do a 9 to 5. You know, everybody's like, got to cash in the checks, pay the taxes, earn a living.
I start at 5 a.m. or start at 6 a.m. It's like, that's a miserable life.
It is like, miserable. But you know what? If you have to be up that early, you can listen to our podcast. That's the only saving grace is you can listen to Johnny Spoiler, Nikki Lates, and Dangerous Dave all day fucking long. We're swearing again. I don't know. We have a code of conduct, but I broke it already. Dave, what are we in? 5 seconds? 10 seconds?
I know. I broke it last week. I know.
You noticed it last week?
I know. I was the one who broke it last week. I got myself mid-show.
We slipped a little bit, but tonight I'm angry because my webcam is broken. So I'm using the Air Mac or AirBook camera. Yeah. And like, you know, we're probably not going to get an Apple endorsement after this, but like, this is a really shitty camera to put in an expensive Apple computer. What the hell are you doing, guys? Frustrating the hell out of me. Anyway, all right, let's get right into it. So Nikki Lace doesn't make a comment tonight that you were great. It's about 100,000 downloads later on another episode. And Dave's keeping the audio. He's keeping the audio.
By the way, I did not, last week's episode, I did not know I was being recorded yet, but I actually thought it was interesting that you did that. And I love it. If anyone wants to watch that episode, go back. It was just raw and real, and I love it.
All I can say is AAWR. Always assume we're recording.
I always look for that line.
The second I see you guys,
Oh, man.
I was talking about how I was a virgin. It's a long story.
Yeah, like Nick made a joke while he was trying to break in a new microphone. He made a joke about virginity and then probably revealed too much about his own plumbing. And that's all we were just like, you know. And then if you're really paying attention.
How to use the microphone. Yeah. I was a virgin. Yeah.
What you should really be paying attention to is the fact that we're covering these classic horror movies and comparing them to their modern remakes. You know, but first let's jump into some home video headlines. We're actually only one episode away from breaking like a billion downloads, which is like an insane stat. Like one episode. So like last week's episode, when it breaks 100,000, we'll have broke a billion downloads of the Binge Watchers podcast.
That is freaking incredible.
Well, we're not going to toot our own horns and drop our own headlines. We're going to keep rocking and rolling. So the next thing we want to talk about is
toot it.
Well, we just did. Toot, toot.
Sorry, I have kids. Steven, I'm always toot. Yeah.
There's clickbait going around that Stephen King wants to write a novel from Jason Voorhees' POV for Friday the 13th. So I'm thinking like, Stephen King, all right, cool. Writing a camp blood story in the mind of Jason. Me personally, I would love a comedy from Jason's perspective, honestly. Because if he's not having fun slashing his way through camp blood, I don't know who can. But what do you guys think? Stephen King book about Jason?
I'm in.
Dave, you go first.
Yeah, I'd read it. Why not?
Nice.
I'd love to see what Stephen King could do with that kind of I can't think of if he's done any novels on somebody else's material or IP, as they call it now.
I think Jason's so simple that I wouldn't want to like know the aspects of what he's thinking, if that makes sense. I think he's scarier, like Michael Myers, where you don't know. So I,
except
like,
for in Freddy versus Jason, we got into his head a little bit.
We got in the water, the water stuff. Yeah, but then again, that's kind of BS too, because like he's always in the water. Like part six, he was.
Oh, Dave's cats are really acting up tonight.
Dude, it's this new microphone is picking. Now I'm gonna have to like do something. Like, I'm gonna have to put him out.
Is he in the room? We got a mascot on the.
This is picking it up from outside.
Holy
Dave,
shit!
How many cats that's like an endorsement for these microphones.
I have two dogs. Yeah, yeah. How many cats you got?
Maybe the cat is actually listening through can hear the microphone, and he's like, "Who are these fucking guys?" Like,
they're like, "I have thoughts on Stephen King writing Jason."
Yeah. Did you guys hear about Madonna had turned down three major roles? She turned down The Matrix, playing Catwoman in Batman Returns, the Michelle Pfeiffer part. And Dave, this is gonna get your nipples hard. She turned down Showgirls, which would be the where's the camera? The third. Honestly, Maybe I'm a horn dog, but I think like I'd love to see her as Catwoman or Showgirls. And if she wants to do a stage show today as Catwoman, but in Vegas, I'm buying a ticket. It's done.
See that.
I think the first two movies...
Nick's out.
I don't care
how famous she is.
This
I'm
is
done.
Not Madonna and Dick Tracy. I'm just saying, like, nah. It's not the same Madonna. Yeah.
I think the first two movies are better off for not having her in it, but Showgirls with Madonna, I'd be interested to see how that would have happened.
I mean,
Nick's not even going along for the comedy. He's like, I'm done. I'm out.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
He must really hate Madonna.
Michelle Pfeiffer, I don't necessarily Batman. Want like, yeah, no, I can. I'm going for that. Yeah.
What about old Pfeiffer then? They made a rap song about her, so she's still clearly got some guys' attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Now you guys probably don't know this next one because I don't think you guys are Marvel fans or comic fans. We'll see. So Guardians of the Galaxy is going to cast Will Poulter, or Will Poulter, whatever, as Adam Warlock. Now, in the comics, Adam Warlock is a dude, depending on which version of his origin story you watch, like, he's, like, either an ancient eternal being that floats around space, kicks ass, or he's, like, the product of some cloning, but, he has, like, Thanos-level powers, right? He's, like, on that level. Okay. So, but he's a really cool character. If they bring him in, what else can you do? There's not much you can do with Guardians of the Galaxy left. They're doing a Christmas special though, or some kind of holiday special. Yeah.
I heard so they're bringing Santa into the Christmas tree.
I don't know.
I kind of gave up on Marvel after Endgame, so I'm kind of lost on where they're at right now. So I don't know. Just saying.
We just took away 3 binge watchers points. Don't worry.
I'm sorry.
No, no.
I thought I was harsh against Marvel.
No. I'm not harsh. I just was like, that was the perfect ending. I feel like it needs to like stop. I don't know. Just
not to not make any more movies at all, or like
no. I just feel like it was my end point. Like,
oh, okay,
game,
fair enough. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, tonight's movies. We've arrived. Okay, guys. The main event, the feature presentation. We're covering House on Haunted Hill, 1959. And House on Haunted Hill, 1999. We're going to try to give the movies some separation and cover them in order, not to like, when then we'll do an overall rating to compare the two. But I noticed like last couple weeks, we're jumping around a lot. And I'm like, oh, let's make it easier on the audience to like follow along, pay attention. So we're going to kick off House on Haunted Hill 59, which is about a millionaire. He offers $10,000 to 5 people who agree to be locked in a large, spooky rented house overnight with him and his wife. David, you got some trivia or stats on this movie?
I do. So this was directed by William Castle, who was also a pretty big horror producer in the 50s and 60s. He was actually known as the king of the gimmick because he would do things like different marketing tricks, such as having nurses sign up people for life insurance before seeing the movie in case they die of fright, or the Tingler, which was like this alien that would like buzz you, so he would have these like vibrating motors under certain seats in movie theaters, then like the tinglers getting you. But for House on Haunted Hill, he used something called a Murga, which was just really a plastic skeleton that would come out during the climax of the movie. And for those who've seen it, you should know which part. It was called a Murgo because it came out in real life, I guess.
That's all cool. I'm down for that. That's like a 4D experience, right?
Right. Yeah, it kind of was the precursor to 40. So this was actually a pretty big box office hit for the time, and Hitchcock, of course, took notice, and actually this inspired him to do Psycho. So without this, we may not have gotten Psycho, believe it or not.
Oh, did it really? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So Vincent Price was actually passed over on a role by on another William Castle movie, but Castle had him in mind for this movie. And over coffee, he decided to sign on to this and The Tingler, which came after this. I guess he was kind of pissed off that he didn't get to do the other movies with them. So Cassandra Peterson, or Elvira, as most people know her, has noted this as being her favorite horror movie. Said this years ago on Larry King Live. So the very beginning of this movie, you hear a lot of screams, chains, ghostly sounds. The effect was so popular that this movie actually inspired all the novelty records and CDs and cassettes that you could buy of just like Halloween sounds. So whenever you go into a Spirit of Halloween and you see a CD for, you know, like ghostly sounds, basically this movie is responsible for that. And the wife in the movie and this one, we're talking about the first one. The wife, the actress Carol Omhart, who was the wife in the first movie, is actually a famous pinup girl and model of the 50s, or excuse me, 40s and 50s. So, you know, she's probably on like bomber pilots' lockers.
So get your motors running, boys. Yeah,
get those motors running, guys. Watch that House on Haunted Hill.
I guess we're at favorite bits, right?
Yeah. Did you watch this one, Nick?
Oh, hell yeah, I did. My favorite bits are actually anything with Vincent Price and the skeleton. I love the 50s skeleton. It's so cheesy.
So at one point, a skeleton rises from a vat of acid.
Yeah. And it just like chases the lady.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So good.
I'm writing down Nick loves skeletons. Love skeletons.
I love skeletons, guys. Yeah. If you put skeletons, I'm on board.
He's gonna trick or treat at your house, you put out a skeleton.
It seems like something I would make today. I'm like, oh, this is this cheesy skeleton. I'm like, genius, guys. You guys nailed it. Hmm. Yeah.
Dude, you know, side note, like, this is unplanned, but like, they're actually, I went to and ate at a restaurant this morning, and like, to space out the seats, they just had plastic skeletons in the spots you're not supposed to sit on.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Sitting there reading menus. Picture and
that. I would love to see that. That's genius.
I should have taken a picture. Yeah.
Go back, please.
Dude, I love, Dave mentioned already the opening, like the spooky sounds they play. It sounds like somebody's being murdered at the beginning of the movie, and then it's like you're invited to a party at the House on Haunted Hills. Like, what a way to set the mood, like right as the movie starts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm probably stepping on what Dave's gonna say.
That's fine. I mean, that opening is pretty great. There's a couple bits I like. Like this, I have a weird history with this movie. I remember seeing this on like AMC when I was 12, because my favorite moment was something I saw in a commercial, and I still, to this day, kind of creeps me out. But like towards the end, there's a scene where a rope is acting like a snake curling around a woman's leg. And I don't know what about that image, but like something about that stuck with me all these years.
By the way, how did they do that? In terms of
I'm assuming like probably stop motion animation or something.
Of the storyline, it doesn't make sense.
You know what I mean? Well, no, I mean, you kind of go along for the ride with this.
I know you're going around. I'm like,
In the original, they never confirm where there's any ghostly activity because, like, the wife's trying to screw the husband over. Spoiler alert: the husband's trying to not get murdered by his wife, and he plans an elaborate trick to get out of her trap to kill him again. And she's trying to kill him the whole movie.
Yeah.
And someone may or may not be working with her and the party goers, but basically, like. So I wrote this down. I wrote within 20 minutes we get a vat of acid, which I thought was cool. If you watch the colorized version, it's like Wizard of Oz Technicolor. It's pretty awesome.
I watched the black and white, so I'm like, when John sent like a video this week, I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. One thing that bothers me is like the owner Pritchett, like he goes to the party as one of the five guests, and I wrote down, why didn't he just charge a rental fee for the house? Because why go back there, right? Yeah. Risk, because he's convinced there's ghosts, right? Because his family was murdered there. Then he goes back, and I'm like, you need 10 grand, dude? Like, why didn't you just charge them 10 grand to rent the house in the first place? Like, why are you there?
Yeah, they definitely make they explain that better in the sequel, or not the sequel, but the remake, or they make at least a better argument for him to be stuck there.
So in the second movie, I mean, we can already probably transition to the 99 movie
can I say one thing? How $10,000 seems like such little money nowadays compared to like the million
nowadays, of course.
Well, it'd be like the equivalent of like, I mean, like, in the second one, it's $1 million.
If they it's
probably closer to like $100,000. But in the 99, which is about an amusement park mogul offers a group of diverse people, again, a handful of people, $1 million to spend the night in a haunted house with a horrifying past. That's your cue, Dave, if you got trivia on this one.
Yeah, so we got facts on this one. And wow, my thing is – okay.
Ladies and germs, we're actually not going to cut that cue out. We're just going to let it roll, if you're wondering.
No, let it roll.
The co-producer of this one, Terry Castle, is actually the daughter of the original producer-director, William Castle. And as a gift, she gave the director of the 99 one, William Malone, one of William Castle's personal scripts for the original movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's a bit controversial today, but Marilyn Manson, his music is in this movie, and he was actually offered a role in the movie.
It's like the whole soundtrack. The whole soundtrack is Marilyn
Manson. It opens and ends basically with Marilyn Manson.
They drive up to the hotel or the place. It's like, it's all about it. Yeah.
But he was actually offered an acting role in the movie, but he couldn't do it at the time because of his busy tour schedule. Because that was like the time of Marilyn Manson.
what part would he have played?
That I don't know. John asked me that too, and this was mentioned on the commentary, but they never said what role he was offered. So I mean, I imagine it was either, to my mind, it was either a character that they just dropped because he couldn't do it, or I could easily see him being like the Brigitte Nielsen character. Bridget Wilson character, the news anchor. I could see him like just replace that with the disgraced rocker or something.
Well, I thought he was gonna be the I thought he was gonna be the freaking
the doctor?
No, the homeowner. Like he was gonna be the guy that like you know what I'm saying?
Chris Kattan.
Kattan
character?
Yeah.
Actually, I could see him being that, actually. Or I could see him being the David Combs character.
Yeah, maybe.
Like I don't know. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out who they would want him as. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. The character was dropped altogether. But of course, actually, probably the best performance in this movie, and actually, all the actors bring their A game to this movie. But Jeffrey Rush had actually just come off of winning an Oscar and was actually nominated for another Oscar while he was filming this. However, like everybody noted, despite like his, you know, like prestige of all these Oscars and nominations, he took this role just as seriously, was always tweaking the character, rehearsing between scenes. Actually, a lot of people thought he was just doing a straight Vincent Price impersonation, which actually he was not. He was actually doing a John Waters impersonation. It just so happened him doing John Waters comes off as Vincent Price. So it kind of worked out. And of course, the scene where Taye Diggs' character jumps into the vat or the blood tank, his stuntman who did that was like dyed red for days after doing that because of all the food coloring. I found interesting is like I didn't realize this, but this movie actually has very few digital effects. Most everything you see is actually either done practically or optically. In fact, they were so effective that when William Malone, the director, was showing it to producer Joel Silver, he was asking like, well, how much are these effects costing us? And he's like, free. Cause like they did a lot of like stuff, you know, like speed up frames or slow down frames, like just little different effects for the different scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So favorite bits, guys, we'll go to jump over to Nikki Lates first. What's your favorite bit from the 99?
Okay. Version? So I don't know how to explain this, but Jeffrey Rush's character is putting on those things and there's that spinning sequence.
His name is Stephen Price. They actually named him
Price. But I'm just saying, like, how do I explain that spinning sequence? Just
like the zoetrope thing?
Yeah.
It's like a zoetrope, right? And it's so beautifully done. And it's so out of...
He gets locked in a torture chamber and starts imagining the ghosts coming to life.
Like,
and
then just these visuals are just so cool. And that's why, like, I wish this director would make more movies, you know?
we didn't put that in the trivia, I don't know. Like, okay. The next movie is what ruined his career, Fear.com.
Oh, well, Fear.com, that was awful. Yeah, and that sucked. I agree. Yeah. But that whole sequence was so genius. I just felt...
I guess I'll get into some of mine. I mean, this is actually, it's kind of interesting because this is a style of horror movie you really don't see too often, which is like ultra stylized. Like this was, I think, a $40 million budget and you can see the whole thing 40? On the screen. Yeah, it was something crazy. Like
I saw this in the theater twice. You know?
Really?
Well, somehow they put together like a handful of these movies that all had a very similar visual style. They were coming out of this Dark Castle Productions. And they were remaking all these old movies. It. Like they did some other things.
13 Ghosts was next.
Yeah, 13 Ghosts. Yeah,
Ghost Ship, which I just told John beforehand, I watched this weekend.
Best that's opening not a recommend. Sequence ever, by the way.
Best opening sequence.
Best opening sequence. I'm just saying horror opening. I love it. Yeah,
but some of my favorite bits in this is the psych out or the when he's testing the new roller coaster or
the roller coaster freak out.
Oh yeah, and then they like trip him out. Yes.
Yeah, because that's the first time I saw this, I was just like the audience, like I didn't know it was a fake
there was
out.
A, so that's good you brought that up because there's a famous cameo there. James Marster, who plays Spike from the Buffy the Vampire and Angel TV show, at the time was like the hottest he's ever been when he was on that show when they shot this. He was the video. Camera operator for the reporter. He's on the ride and thinks he's gonna die, and then the elevator falls, thinks you're gonna die, and it
shows how much Buffy I watched.
I took away points from Nick earlier. Dave, you just watched. He only lost 3 points. You lost 10, buddy.
Yeah, I've seen some Buffy. Just not the whole thing.
I'll be eating your fucking lunch after this. Okay.
Boom.
The other part that I thought was really cool was the scene with the news.
How many F bombs is that, Nick? Are you keeping track?
I didn't keep track this time. I didn't.
All right.
Oh, no. But the camera, the psych out where she's looking through the surgery room and there's nothing there, but through the camera there is that.
So good.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I had that type of camera in high school, that type of video camera. But there's something nostalgic and creepy about it.
I literally have it in the corner here. I feel like grabbing.
Dude, they were trying to sell that camera hard by featuring it in this movie. We're gonna get like 10,000 of these handy cam orders. Oh my god.
If you give me 30 seconds I can find it. Yeah.
My favorite bit is actually the Ubergeist, which I'm coining the phrase. I don't know. It's like a super ghost made out of ghosts. Because in this one, in the remake, the ghosts are real.
Yeah.
And every time they kill somebody it gets absorbed into this super ghost.
And that lasts like 5 minutes is actually really intense and really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what's so funny is, like, believe it or not, there's like almost a similarity between the ending of this movie and The Thing from last week, just because it's like two people stuck and that's it. That's the end of the movie. We're just here.
But I figure they're going to find their way. Like, someone's going to find them on
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't think they're going to get out of it. And like they have these cashier's checks they can't cash because they can't get down. They could drop into the water, but it'll ruin the checks. They won't be able to cash them because they'll get wet and ruined. You know, if they jump into
that, yeah.
Overall ratings. Now we're going to compare 59 to 99. So we'll go overall stats here. Yeah, Nick first. Yeah,
I would do binge now for the 50s version for sure. I would love. I recommend this completely. I love it.
What about the 99?
Oh! I didn't know we were doing both of them.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
overall. He selected the 59 over it. Overall.
No, I thought we were doing both. Okay. Actually, I would recommend 99 over 59 or whatever the. I would recommend the 99.
He's saying binge 99 now?
I didn't know which one we were doing. I would recommend the 90s version any day. I would totally watch this movie. It's great.
I will say binge now the 99, binge later 59, and you know I'm gonna say binge later Return to House on Haunted Hill, the sequel to the 99.
I haven't seen it, but I want to, so that's why I'm saying binge later. You can bring it up, but it's not being covered, so it can't be in the overall rating.
Fair enough. Then binge now 99, binge later 59.
All I will say about that sequel that they decided to make based on the 99 one, the Return to House on Haunted Hill, which is only a sequel to the 99 remake, is actually about the main ghost, which is the doctor who gets killed there and becomes a psychopath.
I need to buy the Blu-ray of it because it was one of those choose your own adventure movies.
It's better than the other than the. It's probably better than the 99 one, actually.
Really? That's a bold statement.
Are you serious? Yeah. So I'm actually tired of these movies. I don't think I'm ever going to watch them again. I accidentally texted somebody. I'm going to cover this in fan service. I was trying to text you guys, and I texted somebody else. So if my overall rating is actually for 59, because you touched on it a little bit earlier, Nick, but when Vincent Price emerges from having survived, spoiler alert, charmed. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
He came out like a absolute boss, dude. Like he walked out and he's like, look, I rigged the whole thing. I'm alive. She's gone. I survived the nights, you know, and like that was incredible. That was incredible. So I'm going to go 59. I'm going to go 59 over 99 for myself. Moving into fan service is kind of related to how we just rated these movies. A friend of mine messaged me about The Thing because I had posted the artwork from our Thing episode. And then he said, oh, yeah, The Thing 82, one of my favorites of all time. John Carpenter keeps ratcheting up the tension. We can all agree. I mean, we did a whole episode on it. So that's what he's responding to. Then this is one's great because this is about the joke we made with Nick in the beginning of the episode about last week's episode. A YouTube channel whose name is Welcome to Horror Town They enjoyed the opening of last week's episode and decided to comment on it. They this is what they wrote. Ah ha ha ha. Laugh emoji, and rightly so, because they're like, what a way to start. Ha ha ha, what a way to start. And I agree, because and I'm thinking, like, we'd love to hear from you guys more often, so if you want us to review a movie, so I'm trying to laugh, I'm like call, I'm holding sorry, in the laughter right now, trying to get my next sentence out.
All
right,
if you John, want us to, can you explain what happened? Because
I already did, it's the beginning of this episode. So what do you mean? Yeah,
you want me to wrap people up? Or just go to the episode.
Yeah, go to the episode. They can go. Okay, they can gotcha. Go watch it. They can go. It's the cat people.
One. I was caught off guard. I thought I was talking.
What I will say, studies. I did that, not know I was being that recorded. YouTube channel is pretty cool. You know why? That YouTube channel is just reposting the Friday the 13th series, which is about you know, mystery investigations. Anyway, I'm getting all off track. So if you want to review, have us review a movie. Shoot us an email or comment on the Castbox app, and then we'll reply to you and let you know if we're going to cover something. Or we should. What I was thinking we were going to do is like start doing mini reviews of the fan service submissions, right when they're like, "Oh, you guys should cover Jaws 4. Blah, blah, blah. Cover this movie, man."
So I kind of did a month or so ago.
I know, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody gives us a list, we'll just drop them into fan service and be like, "Here's our 2 cents on this movie." You know, like Not a staff picks. Did anybody, Nick, did you watch anything else outside of having to review these two monster movies?
Guys, I have been joining the trend. Yes, I've been joining the trend. I've been watching Squid Games.
Oh.
You guys heard of this show on Netflix?
Yeah, I've almost pulled the trigger to convince me.
I'm 3 episodes in, and I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty fucking, excuse me.
I'm pretty sure it was last week. Well, we mentioned Squid Games in our headlines.
No, you did. And I didn't start watching it until this week.
Okay. Because
my lady's like, "Oh, do you want to watch it?" I'm like, "Let me give it a try."
Well, they're saying the subtitles are confusing people about what it's really about.
Subtitles do not match what they're saying.
Yeah.
You can't do that because my lady likes to watch subtitles. I'm like, "Ugh," and they don't match. But as far as the show, it's pretty freaking good. I'm not gonna lie. I'm 3 episodes in, and I'm kind of sold on it.
Is it pretty uber violent?
Oh yeah, like you know what it is. It's like it's a slow burn.
It's more psychological, I think. It's more psychological.
And then once it hits, you're like, oh damn, you know. Right. And he's just like, and the characters are kind of cool. It's a character study piece, but I like it.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like a little kid in the ice cream cone. There you are. You got a fresh ice cream cone. The ice cream falls off.
Yeah.
So that's the show. You hear a backstory of a character, and then boom.
And then it's like, oh my gosh, yeah. So I'm on episode 3. I don't know what happens after that. I think there's 9 episodes, but I'm on board. I'm just saying, check it out. I'm excited about it. Just saying.
Me and the wife have been talking about pulling the trigger on that because
go for it. I think it's worth it.
All right, maybe off the bit. You might have pushed me.
Well, you can probably get through it in maybe 4 days.
I mean, it's like 9 episodes. There's like 53 minute episodes. It's pretty easy to.
You can like a week.
We burn through Midnight Mass pretty fast. So I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure by next week I'll be like, "All right, what did you watch, Nick?" And I'll be like, "Watch this show." You know,
endorsement.
Or if it bombs, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, don't watch this show." But yeah, I'm sold on it.
Nice. All right. And I watched a lot of stuff this week, nothing worth talking about. And then today I finally watched something that I'm like, wow, great for the show.
Give me time to laugh.
Can you repeat that quote? That's actually
He literally just said, "Oh, I watched a lot of things this week, but nothing worth talking about."
But then today, yeah. No, I mean, it's true. Like, I watched a bunch of stuff.
I'm just saying.
I watched Ghost Ship. And not going to talk about it. I watched The Night House. Kind of good, but it falls apart. Go ahead.
Ghost Ship, you can recommend the opening. Ghost
I can recommend the first 5 minutes, absolutely.
Exactly. Okay.
Watch it on YouTube. I'm sure it's there.
Yeah, I got you.
But no, I finally did watch something. It actually came. So this is like how John says he likes when people bounce off stuff that was brought up by you guys. I finally sat down because of you two. I finally watched The Ritual today. That movie is great. That movie is creepy as hell.
It's creepy as hell, right? It's good.
It's like I'm kind of pissed off because Netflix hasn't suggested it to me. Like when you guys mentioned, I'm like, "What the hell is it?"
Talk about.
You know what that means, dude? You don't watch enough British stuff.
No, I do watch a lot of British stuff. That's the thing that sucks is I do watch it. I watch a lot of horror and I watch a lot of British stuff, and yet it's only suggested it to me in like the last couple months. And then you guys said something about it. I'm like, oh my gosh. But like, I noticed it's like 3 years old. I'm like,
how much My Little Pony is it suggesting for you, Dave?
Like, I watched that 3 years ago. Like, that's, can I say one thing? How beautiful is the creature?
Right. Well, it is. Yeah.
I mean, it's creepy.
A spoiler alert, I guess.
No, I don't want to spoil it. Like, go watch.
It's almost a movie. I mean, we're talking a bit about it. It's almost worth doing an episode on, but I mean, we'll do that way in the future. We talked about it. I would love to rewatch it. No, it's really good. It's really tense and creepy. I watched The Night House, which is also from this director. Mm-hmm. Parts of Night House kind of fall apart, but this one was a beginning to end, just tense. It felt like a Simon Pegg movie. Like, think of something like The World's End, but take all humor out of it. Like a bunch of guys get together, shit happens, but no humor.
Well, I mean, counterpoint, there is no humor in At World's End or whatever the public.
I will agree with you. That was a bad example.
I saw that in the theater, and I'm like, that was not the best. Yeah.
I'll give you $1,000 if you can name three people that are never making a movie together ever again. Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and what's the other guy's name? Who's the director? Edgar Wright.
They'll be fine. That I think it was still a big hit for them in England, which is where they make most of their money anyways.
Hey, Nick, since you're watching the list ahead of us, what are we doing next week?
Actually, I don't see.
Did you watch anything, John?
Actually, to be honest with you, it says next week, ... So I actually don't see it. I don't know.
Well, you mentioned it a couple weeks ago, whether you realize it or not.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah. and the 92 remake.
90s, yes. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm excited about this.
Which the 90s is really, I mean, we'll talk about it more next week, but that it doesn't get it to
the
do.
The 90s version, actually, I love, but yeah. I watched the Black Mike version, so I'm going to rewatch the 90s version this week. I'm excited. Tom Cerovini, by the way.
Dave, have you watched the cartoon yet?
No, I'll probably watch it before next week and see if it's worth talking about.
There's a cartoon, right?
Yeah, and a couple years ago, there was a 3D version.
Oh, no, don't watch that. I saw, dude, this is how, oh my God. I actually took,
we should probably save our Night of the Living Dead stories for next week, right?
Yeah, it's like, how many versions are we talking about?
Yeah, just the good one.